quarter to six in the morning, 32 degrees. First thoughts, best 5 minutes of the day, and our first edition of winter. Yes, Jason Cairns, winter officially arrived at 4:02 this morning.
Okay. Yeah, so we must be getting in. So is today the shortest day of the year then?
Yeah, I guess, right? Okay. I mean, that's typically the way it works, right? Winter equinox, isn't that the deal?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Well, good. And no, not really any snow on the ground yet.
But the cause for celebration is that the day, from this point on, the state, more daylight, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
That is a good thing.
We'll be working our way all the way to June 21st, so.
Right.
All right. Well, let's see. You had a Facebook post over the weekend. We got a little bit, I think both my wife and I chiming in, so that took on a life of its own. And then you commented a whole fresh batch of observations then on Sunday morning, huh?
Yeah. So kind of around, again, I think it's something we've talked about in the past. It started as a notion of misinformation. I think that's one of the risks we face with so much social media, and I've been concerned about kind of propaganda and misinformation that's out there, and it took on a life of whether people should be free to not take the vaccine, and then
yeah.
It got into a discussion of media bias, and so there was a whole lot going on there in that thread, and I think the next day too, so.
Yeah.
It circled back to, again, that question, is it possible you're wrong?
Yeah.
There's so much that gets tied to that question.
It's hard to keep asking it, right? It's
It is, because I don't ever want to ask them. I want to ask if other people are wrong.
Right. Yeah, well, we had a lot of homework to do, Luke 19 through 21, so that's what it feels like when it's, it's been good. It's been good for my Bible reading, I feel like, to be accountable to have to go on the radio to talk about, but three chapters, it's a tall order here on a Monday. So, all right.
It is.
Luke 19, I don't know, I guess what struck me was the idea of at one point where it talks about Jesus audibly crying. I was reading that chapter in the Amplified version, and it talked about him audibly crying. And I think whenever you come up to that, I mean, the shortest verse in the Bible, is it John 11:35, Jesus wept.
Yep.
But I mean, that this one... certainly the Zacchaeus story, but that idea of him weeping over Jerusalem. So.
Yeah, I agree. I think of that in terms of modern context, too, and, you know, what are the ways in which he would weep? Interestingly, I went later in the chapter also dealing with crying, and it was, if they were to keep silent, if my disciples were to keep silent, even the stones would cry out, and... just kind of this notion that all creation testifies to God.
Mm.
And this longing for redemption.
Yeah. Luke 20, I guess religious leader, I'm looking at some of the subtitles. Religious leaders question Jesus about paying taxes. Religious leaders question Jesus about the resurrection. I mean, Jesus and religious leaders cannot answer Jesus's question. I mean, it always reminds me that the Gospels are not what you'd expect them to be. If you didn't know what they said ahead of time, you'd think, oh, Jesus got, you know, religion, church, religion, Jesus would have got along well with them. And that wasn't the case.
Right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's what stood out to me with Luke 20 as well, is just kind of the continued conflict there. You know, it's interesting because if we try to put ourselves in that circumstance of that week before his crucifixion, right? So every night they would go out, they'd sleep in the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, and then they would come into town during the day, and Jesus would teach, you know, at the temple. And there was just kind of this continued coming and challenging by the religious leaders. And I was struck by kind of in the opening part there, his authority was challenged. But the leaders would withdraw and kind of scheme and say, okay, how do we answer this without stirring up the people, without, and so there was all of this people pleasing.
There's always been the political considerations, you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, and I don't think we're excluded from that now.
Yeah. And finally, Luke 21, I mean, a poor widow gives all she has, which is striking, but then it's really, you know, with, earlier chapters like Matthew 24 and then Mark 13,
yeah.
Luke also about the end times here, Jesus talking about the future.
Yeah, so for me, you know, I think as we watch everything, all the conflict going on in the world, I know there are some people who are wondering if that's what's going on. And, you know, and I think Jesus instructs us, don't try to determine timelines. Live well and lovingly. In verse 8, it says, many will come in my name saying, I am he, and the end is near. And I was reflecting on that this morning and wondering, do we expect someone who's actually going to come and say, you know what, I'm Jesus, I'm the Messiah, or is it someone who is saying, I can save you from your suffering, I can deliver you from racism, I can deliver you from injustice, all you have to do is follow me, follow my plan for things.
21 chapters into Luke, I'm reminded how reading is important, but in fact, John MacArthur said, you know, Bible reading precedes Bible study, and I think absolutely so. I mean, you get into the water before you dive deeper down. But the fact is, there's so much that upon initial encounter is confusing, and it requires further digging, you know? So,
yeah. I would even suggest maybe a lifetime of digging.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Bible, we need to be Bible archaeologists. All right, hey, we'll talk to you tomorrow, one day closer to Christmas.
Yep.
All right, thanks. I imagine Drew Fralick in Michigan, they are bracing for the snow as well. You know, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yeah, people hunger for a white Christmas. At this point, we don't really have one. It's more of a green Christmas. What's the ground look like in Michigan where you are?
Muddy and gray, concrete, you know, Detroit. You know, it looks like a Batman movie, you know, as always.
You could stand to have a little bit of the white covering. Just a little bit.
That'd be great. Yeah. Cover it up.
All right.
Cover it all up.
All right. We'll see. So you were a part of a Zoom comedy show on Friday night. Here's my deal. I was a day late and a dollar short. I promoted the thing on our WIB Wake Up Show Facebook page and on my own personal one, but I guess I should have taken the ticket seriously. My wife and I trying to get it from the laptop to the TV to watch you, and then it was like, it was after 7, and they were like, sorry, the tickets are, you know, we're done selling tickets for tonight. Check back in on Christmas. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great show. It's a great show. You know, Zoom comedy, it's sort of like this weird hybrid between live comedy and radio, you know. And it's a little weird. You know, you can, like, see everyone's house, and they're all sitting there. And it's like, you know, the old adage, they say, if you're nervous before a show, you should just picture your audience in their underwear. Yeah. These people actually were in their underwear, some of them. So, you know, it's a little tricky.
Is it hard, though? Like, typically, yeah, when you say, like, radio, because when you do stand-up comedy, whether it was China back in the day or here in the... I mean,
right.
You usually have a live audience, and then you feed off the laughs. You love the laughs.
Exactly.
And what do you do? You know, it's hard, right? So...
Yeah, there's nothing to feed off of, so you just keep going. You know, you just deliver the goods, and you get out of there. You know what I mean?
How long did you go then?
Everybody did 8 minutes, and I was on there with a guy, DC Benny, from Comedy Central, who I had opened for in Shanghai back in the day. And the other lady, I'm not sure, but it was a good show. It was fun. It's a lot of fun.
Give us
very different.
Can you give, like, what was your best? Do you have your best joke?
Well, they were DC Benny and the other lady Kendra. They were talking about how they both went before me, and then I went third. And they were talking about how, you know, I went to my therapist, blah blah blah. I go to my therapist. They're both talking about all these things about their therapist.
Yeah.
And I get on there and I'm like, yeah, you know, I am a therapist, and I had my glasses off, and I go, you ready? You want me to turn this Zoom show into a therapy session? I put my glasses on. I go, okay, now this show costs $125
an
hour.
There you go. That's good.
Everybody,
that's good.
Yeah, it was okay. Yeah, it
All
was
right.
good.
So actually, though, you got a story for us today of not your best, but maybe your worst comedy outing ever?
Yeah, we're coming up on the 5-year anniversary of probably my worst comedy show ever, which was a holiday party at a hospital. That was booked by my mom. And here's the thing I've learned. Never let your mom book comedy gigs for you, because this is a lady that, you know, she said, what do you want for Christmas? I said, I want Andrew Jackson's biography. And she went out and bought me Phil Jackson's autobiography. So never let your mom book you these gigs.
Okay.
So this gig was supposed to be at 7 o'clock in this hospital, like, theater, you know. And I'm like, this is going to be great. You know, hospital, it's Nurses Appreciation Week. And they changed it at the last minute, 11:30 in the cafeteria. And the other thing I realized was, you know, for Nurses Appreciation Week, instead of giving all these nurses a raise, they got him a comedy show with me. So they're all very sour.
Yeah.
Everybody's very sour, and we're going through. I'm doing my show. The jokes are just bouncing off the walls into silence. At one point, some nurse walks by and with no irony says, "Oh, it's so nice they let the psych patients give speeches in the cafeteria." And so I'm just bombing brutally. And so I start to, like, talk to the crowd a little bit, you know. So this one guy's sitting there, and I go, "Sir, what do you do here?" He goes, "I'm a surgeon." I go, "Oh, has it been a busy day?" He goes, "Yeah, I was just out of surgery." And I go, "Oh, I was trying to be funny." You know, I go, "Oh, did the person die?" He goes, "Not as bad as you are."
Wow, okay.
So,
yeah, that's rough. Yeah.
And I was like, "Yeah, okay. That was a good burn. That was a good burn."
Yeah.
So I got out of there. And that's actually the hospital I was born in. So I was born and died in that hospital. So.
Well, you know, and I guess from that point, everything else is up. You know, nothing's going to be as bad as that one. So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, I could just hear the introduction, and we'll wrap it up. I could just hear the introduction. It's like, "Well, instead of your raise this Christmas, we've got you this. Here he is, Drew Fralick." Yeah, boy.
All the way from China. And they told me right before I went on stage, "Drew, don't mention the raise thing. Whatever you do, don't mention the raise thing." They're all real sour about it.
Oh, boy. Oh, well, hey, Merry Christmas. And
Merry Christmas.
It's welcome to winter. It arrived at, I guess, 5:02 your time, Eastern time, 4:02 ours this morning. And so we're into winter now. So
we're ready. We're ready.
The days are going to start getting longer. We'll talk to you next week, Drew.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
Another weekend come and gone, Halvo.
That's right. I'll start. You know, you and I have both talked about how we are. I've heard you say this, but it's, I hold true with it as well, that we're big fans on don't throw things away.
Sure.
Food.
Don't
waste
it. Yeah.
Yeah, don't waste things.
And even if you're the dad and have to hoover it up off everyone else's plates when they leave
exactly.
The table.
It's like you can't just throw it away. And so this was a case that happened. I've got with me what I have, some pretzels inside of a plastic container.
Pretzel rods. Nice.
The pretzel rods. And so my wife was like, "You can take that stuff out to the garbage." And I was not. I'm like, "These are pretzels." She's like, "Yeah, they're stale." I'm like, "I'll eat them."
Yeah.
So then, I mean, then you have to, like, demonstrate. So I open the lid and take a bite. And sure, yeah, it's stale, but I'm like, I can still eat it. It's
like,
here's the thing, Caleb. There's no mold on them.
Right?
Isn't that the standard?
Well, and here's the thing. I think you go, actually, can they mold?
Probably not.
I don't know
not.
How that works with pretzels. I think they just get more
but,
and more stale.
But, I mean,
stale,
I'm just like, they're edible. Have some coffee with them.
Sure.
I don't know. So, also, brought in some of that German candy last week. I've got some Kreisstollen, I think is how you say it. I don't know.
Okay.
It's dressed in Stollen. It's some Stollen. It's got a lot of raisins, some frosting on top.
Sure.
Real
like
good.
Like a bread?
So
sweet bread?
We sampled some, but
okay.
My wife wasn't surprised I liked it because of the raisins, so there you go. One item from over the weekend, too. Michael is joining the Eau Claire North wrestling team.
All right. They've got a great program over there.
All right. Well, that's good because apparently they did have some challenges on Saturday from what I heard. I was not there for it. And he had his first practice this morning. He was getting picked up at 5:30 in the morning.
Wow. So. No, traditionally, that's a really strong wrestling program.
Good. So anyhow, they're excited to have him weighing in at 122 pounds to get going. So.
Well, remember when we talked about how 150 million Americans would be shopping on Saturday?
Yeah.
I was one of them.
Okay.
So, yeah, and that intersection down by Kohl's and Target, Menards and Walmart down there in Eau Claire where I said, no way I'm going there.
You were there.
I was there. I was there. So got some shopping done. And here's the thing. I have to say, people seem to be in a fairly festive mood, too. I mean, it was hard to go through Walmart, for instance, without almost T-boning someone else whenever you were entering or coming out of an aisle. But people seem to be pretty courteous. And so that's always nice, too, that they're in generally good moods. And stopped by the Chipotle candy shop. So that was pretty great as well, too. Some local businesses, Sweet Driver Chocolates. So always like supporting the locals whenever possible. And then Saturday night. And here's the thing. The difference between my wonderful younger brother, Josh, and myself is he's like, "There are so many sports on today. I love it." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm a dad and I've got stuff to do. So I'm going to listen to the radio as much as possible, but I'm not going to be able to sit down and watch." So I actually didn't get to watch the Packers game until almost 10 o'clock at night.
Really?
Because I was dipping peanut butter balls for 2.5
hours.
Wow,
look at you.
So my family better be grateful.
Yeah, they will be. Oh, those are the best.
I don't know if this was a burn or a blister from like grating stuff, but I have like a wound on my finger, too.
Ah.
So I bear on my body the marks of Christmas.
I put a bandage on as well this morning. All right, Make Us Laugh Monday. We love to have you try to make us laugh, and we try to turn it around to you as well here on the program. All right, I got four jokes, Caleb.
All right, let's hear them.
All right, here we go. Starting it off this morning, which is faster, Caleb, hot or cold?
I don't know.
Hot, because you can catch a cold.
Not bad at all. Hey, what's the best Christmas present in the world, Mark?
I don't know.
A broken drum. You just can't beat it.
Wow. Okay.
I'm starting low.
All right, that's fine. You got to build. Hey, you know what? Over the weekend, I mean, I did some shopping too on Saturday. And at one point, I mean, I had the rudest, slowest, nastiest cashier. I mean, I guess it's my own fault for using the self-checkout lane.
Oh, man.
I like that one a lot. Hey, what is a penguin's favorite relative?
I don't know.
Antarctica.
Okay.
Come on, dad joke. You got to give me something for
dad joke on that one. All right, dad joke. Hey, driving tests should have a portion where a kid in the backseat just pummels you with rapid-fire questions while you're trying to merge, don't you think?
I think so. That's very true. I don't trust trees, Halvo.
Mm-hmm. Why?
They're pretty shady.
There you go.
We're finally, just not getting anything out of him today.
No, I was laughing. But I remember, it's hard to make me laugh. Last one for me. I mean, not to brag, but I mean, most of my net worth consists of Menards rebate checks.
Start to pile up. And finally, for a Make Us Laugh Monday, setting the bar very low so you can join in on the Wib Listener Line at 396-1670. Yesterday, I ate a clock. It was very time consuming, especially when I went back for seconds. That's what we've got this morning.
That was very timely. No question.
There we go.
Well, this is a little bit odd. The newest sandwich that McDonald's is launching in China. Have you heard about this? It's a bizarre new burger. It's complete with spam. Looks like a couple of spam patties.
Okay.
Crushed Oreo pieces and a creamy sauce.
I would have not thought to mash those things together. I'm all for music mashups, but mashing up spam and Oreos. And coming from McDonald's, of all places, it sort of seems like one of those things when your toddler combines every element of his or her plate into one glop and then refuses to eat it.
You should share off-air your idea of how they conceived of this.
I just wondered. It's like, okay, McDonald's is the biggest fast food franchise.
All over the world.
In the world. And I just wondered, it's like, is there some really rich dude who owns all of this? And he has like a spoiled son who knows nothing about business. And he's like, hey, I know what we should do. We should make a spam burger and put Oreos on it. And no one can say no to the rich owner's son. So they're just like, okay, Bobby, here's what we're going to do. We're going to roll it out in China. And then they're just like, no one comes to our restaurants there anyway. So.
I mean, everybody loves Oreos, at least a lot of people, I guess the world over. But Oreos and spam, and it just is
separated. Those aren't bad. I don't know about the creamy sauce. I'd have to try that. But, I mean, separate, those seem fine. But when you mix them together,
it's odd, right? It does seem odd.
Seems like maybe there should have been more thought.
Tomorrow, we're going to be inviting your Christmas traditions. And these can be very wide-ranging, having to do Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, whatever Christmas traditions your family has. We'll be asking for those. We've got Christmas music we're looking to give you along the way. But this is one, speaking of fast food, what nation actually clamors for Kentucky Fried Chicken on Christmas? It's Japan. Forget the Christmas turkey for many Japanese or Christmas ham. Traditional Christmas dinner is Kentucky Fried Chicken.
See, I always think of like sushi and stuff with Japan, but
the
fried chicken is the treat on Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm down for that. I like KFC.
We had some on Friday night.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, this was a quick contest that we put together very quickly here, late November, early December, our first annual WWIB Home Sweet Home Gingerbread House Contest. And we just thought, hey, there's going to be a lot more people with maybe upended traditions, staying at home more often, kids maybe doing virtual schooling. We thought, what's a fun traditional activity that you can do together? Making gingerbread houses. And so we rounded up some incredible local sponsors to do this. We appreciate Western Wisconsin Health of Baldwin, and Trust Point of Eau Claire and La Crosse making this possible and saying, yeah, we want to do this for the WIB listening families. And we also have great prizes. So we just said, hey, we want to see you and your family doing this together. It could be individuals, but again, if you have a family, we'd love to see you do this together. Send us a picture. We don't need your gingerbread house. That's for you to eat and enjoy. Mm-hmm. But we just wanted to see you guys doing something fun together. It just blew us away with the number of entries. I mean, they just a flood, dozens and dozens of entries. So we randomly drew from all of those this morning, Halvo. The deadline was last night, and this randomly selected winner gets a $100 Christmas certificate from each of these six great Wisconsin businesses. So $600 in gift certificates total, $100 from Festival Foods, Mycon Cinemas, Country Treasures, Sweet Driver Chocolate, Sammy's Pizza, and Quick Trip. Very excited to announce our randomly drawn winner of the first annual Home Sweet Home Gingerbread Contest is Winston, 4 years old from Colfax. Congratulations, Winston. And Winston made this wonderful gingerbread house. We actually just put a picture of it on the WIB Facebook page with his grandma, Christy. So congratulations, Winston, and thank you so much, Grandma Christie, for making it with him and entering it here this morning. Winston, we will have your prizes waiting for you. You are certainly able to share them if you would like.
On this winter solstice, talking some space, talking some astronomy here, Halvo and Caleb, the WIB Wake Up Show. The winter solstice, as midwinter, is an astronomical phenomenon marking the day with the shortest period of daylight and the longest night of the year. But hope for the future, Caleb, the next 6 months, more and more daylight all the way till June 21st. And for instance, in New York today, 9 hours of daylight. How about Fairbanks, Alaska? 3 hours and 42 minutes of daylight today.
I just love, you know, what you mentioned about that hey, after the longest darkest night,
right,
that's when the hope comes more and more daylight day by day. I love it.
Something, right, I mean, Psalm 126, 5 and 6, ask Mabel Louise, she'll tell you that's what this station was built on. We go out weeping, carrying our bags of seed to sow, the darkness, the night, but the rejoicing comes in the morning. So there you are. But transitioning to tonight, where Jupiter and Saturn coming together to make a Christmas star.
I heard about this. This is so cool.
It is. According to NASA, the planets will appear only a tenth of a degree apart, marking their closest encounter in, get this now, nearly 400 years. 400
it's
years!
It's incredible, and we get to witness it in 2020.
I mean, certainly it causes people to go, is this what happened 2,000 years ago? Astronomers say the alignment will create a bright point of light that'll be easily visible to the naked eye. To see it, just look toward the southwest about an hour after sunset. The encounter has been dubbed the Christmas Star as it falls just a few days before Christmas.
Again, the way I'm understanding it, Jupiter and Saturn, the planets looking are so close to each other, they'll appear like one single bright object in the sky. Christmas Star. Pretty cool, pretty cool. What a mighty God we serve. What an amazing creator. Enjoy some of that creation tonight. Just bundle up a bit.